fit into the plan for tonight? Well, plan in as much as we have one here.
Well, in some sense, May was bondage month. I feel like while the bondage lifestyle is very interesting, it's also excessively restrictive in some sense, and I wanted to explore some other lifestyles. And so I thought maybe Jordan and Chris could talk about their lifestyle, which is traditional but with a twist. That's the way I like to think about it.
Well, I think we can, well, this is Chris again, but I think we can kind of toss traditional out the window a little bit, but then again, what is traditional?
Well, from what I understand, you were high school sweethearts. I mean, what could be more traditional than that?
Oh, what could be sweeter?
Yeah, we were diabolical high school sweethearts. We were in that, this is the person I want to marry. This is, you know, I'm setting myself up for the life. I'm 17 years old. I could see why, you know, why there are 17-year-olds and 16-year-olds out there who get married, because, you know, I'm so committed and I'm so in love and all that. And so that was kind of where we left off. I met Jordan when I was already accepted at Carnegie Mellon, so I pretty much knew I was leaving the state at some point.
So you met when you were seniors in high school?
I was a senior. She was a junior. No, you were a sophomore.
Yeah, I was a sophomore.
She was young.
I was a baby.
Yeah, she was 15. I was 17. So
try 14, bucko.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. In which sense was this relationship diabolical?
It was diabolical,
you said.
Well, it was diabolical in the fact that we were overly obsessed, and we were that type of couple that, like, did everything together in a lot of ways. Well, it didn't start that way, but eventually it kind of cascaded into a very codependent relationship where we both really needed each other around a lot, and it became very dangerous as I approached leaving, trying to figure out how we were going to deal with that. And ultimately I did. We ended up having this very difficult two semesters apart, where Jordan visited me a couple times, and I also spent about $150 a month on phone calls.
Oh, no.
This is while you were at CMU and she was back.
Where was Jordan at this time?
Back home in New England.
Yeah, we were both from Rhode Island, so that was where we met.
So, Jordan, I'm sorry.
Yes, sir.
Better, yeah.
No, that's all.
Okay. So, how was, you were 15, he was 17. How was your sexual part of the relationship like at that age?
It was wonderful. I think that I was a lot older emotionally than most kids were, just because.
So you were going to say that you are now.
Oh, no.
just how I feel.
Maybe that may be true. That may be true.
Was Chris your first sexual partner? Or
yes. Yep.
Interesting.
He was my first serious boyfriend, and I think I lucked out in that department, because in a lot of ways the relationship was a little bit twisted in how codependent it was, but in other ways, you know, I was so committed and so into him that he could have taken advantage in a lot of ways in which he did not. So I think I lucked out in that department. But I could see how it could be considered diabolical, because...
Oh, I didn't mean that in a bad way. I mean,
no, I would agree with you, because when he went away to school, I was just a mess. Like, my life fell apart. I was very depressed. I had problems with depression anyway, and that just made it worse. And I'd missed 2 years of working on myself as a person and growing up. You know, we helped each other grow up in a lot of ways, but in a lot of ways we're concentrating on the relationship and not on ourselves, which is what you're supposed to do at that point. So.
And I would also add that the two of us also had obviously other things to work on, not just issues of, you know, personal growth and strength, but also sexuality. That was a real important part of the splitting. I mean, when I actually came to Carnegie Mellon, one of my goals while I was here, which of course I achieved immediately after graduation, so I suppose it was a little late, was to have a gay experience.
You came to college with that goal?
Oh, yeah. which I'm not really sure if Jordan knew at the time. I don't think she really did, although you had me pretty much pegged as a queer boy
I seem to remember writing him in his freshman year and being like, "You're gay," and him being like, "Well, maybe, I don't know, thought about it."
Why did you suspect that? I mean, usually the reason women suspect that is because the men are, I mean, the standard reason women suspect men are gay is because they're not interested in them, or there's some kind of passionless aspect to their relationship, but you two seem to have the opposite.
There were things at the end of our relationship with him feeling very, I could tell that he was unfulfilled in certain aspects, and I knew that I knew that it wasn't me as a person. It was just the nature of the relationship. Like, I think that most women can tell. They get that little feeling like there's something not right. And, you know, I would try to overcompensate, and I wasn't doing it, you know, because obviously, I was probably doing pretty good, but, you know, there's only so much you can do with the parts you got.
I'd like to know if women can really tell. If you could call us at 621-9728 or 268-9728 and tell us if you can tell or ask anything else, please do call.
So Chris evidently needed something more from you than, say, you know, a strap-on would provide.
Right.
A strap-on?
What's a strap-on?
What is it? I don't know. Can you say strap-on dildo on the air?
Oh yeah.
Well, that's
referring to a penile substitution
And it wasn't just obviously the sexual curiosity, but it was also just the emotional curiosity. It was something that I. Because then, of course, you know, as Juan knows, and as some of our listeners who may have, you know, listened to the show and heard me on before, when I did finally come out of the closet within the past year, telling my
it
parents,
wasn't with me. I just right. want to leave that.
Oh yeah, no, it wasn't with Juan. Mm-hmm. That was
God knows you tried, Juan. No. You were kind of a mess for a while.
Relentless, really, around here. But the real kicker for me, at least, was kind of coming home with it to my parents, explaining this to them. I had also dated another girl in college, so, you know, there's like still this, you know, feigning pure heterosexual in me.
So you told your parents that you were...
I told my parents I was bisexual. And that was basically very interesting, because then they turned around immediately and said, well, that's not a shock, because we are too. For the first time in their lives.
Really? Yeah, but they had discovered it partially as a result of your telling.
As a result of me. Right. They had kind of skirted around the edges and then finally just full-blown admitted it to each other. And actually, I think I can honestly say their lives have changed fairly dramatically since I came out to them. My father now avidly belongs to several nudist organizations. Like my mother also takes part in a lot of other kind of related... kind of
alternative
lifestyle discussion, conversation, support group type things. She's a shrink, so I mean.
Is your father a psychologist?
He was for a while. Actually, he was a minister. Actually, here in Pittsburgh for a while, and then kind of had a whole series of midlife crises, and now is doing really well in Rhode Island. So, but yeah, so that was also very interesting. But anyway, so my 4 years here were. Or that way. What about yours, Jordan?
Oh, I was having an interesting 4 years of my own back home.
Well, first you should tell them about the breakup.
Well, the first 2 years were wasted, you said before. You were feeling sorry for yourself, etc.
No, they weren't wasted. I was just, they were a wonderful 2 years, and I learned a lot about myself sexually, but I neglected lots of other parts of myself, I think. And I came out of it not being very mature in a lot of ways.
Well, this was... with Chris? Yes. Or after Chris? Okay.
Right. And then we broke up, I guess, the September of your sophomore year in college.
Yeah, I came home for that summer, and we had a really good summer. There were some tense moments, but all in all, it was like, oh, you know, nothing's changed. It's just like it was, you know, it's like I had never gone away to college. And we kind of left.
This
again.
Is when you returned?
Yeah, I returned.
The summer just before
this,
we broke
the, you know, for the summer home. Jordan was still living there. Jordan was still in high school.
Yep, I was still in high school.
So it was just like, okay, you know, everything's fine. It's just living the life. And then I left again, and it was like, okay, here we go again, another year.
Yeah.
And that's when you said.
And I said, at that point, I was seriously into my depression. It was later found out it was chemically related, but I wasn't on medication, which made it harder. And I was like, I just got into this thing where I was like, I need to take care of myself. And this being apart and like coming back together, being apart is too much emotionally. It's messing me up. So I have to end it, which is really like.
End what, life?
No, end the relationship. Oh. Although ending
this
life.
Diabolical relationship.
And suicide was very much a part of that, the months leading up to that too, I think, because I was just such a wreck. I wasn't in my right mind. And then once.
You were contemplating it.
Yes, I definitely was.
I have this effect on people.
I know I'm feeling a little crazy.
So I said, you know, this is ridiculous. I'm messing myself up. My life's not worth throwing away like this. Because I was living for him to come home or living for him to call. And my life wasn't in Rhode Island. It was in Pittsburgh, and I was 600 miles away, and it was just, I had enough. And
so,
I met...
So by this time, he'd already cast his sexual spell on you. Can I ask that question? I mean, you were already intimate at that point.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yes.
However, in a previous installment, we heard that you hadn't had official sex, as you put it.
The official penetrative sex never, never happened, although I would say we put many couples to shame in terms of some of the things we did.
Yep.
but yeah, it was an issue of virgin versus... Well, virgin versus virgin, but virgin versus
innocent
size issues.
Oh,
so I guess this is where the alternative within the traditional comes in.
Right, and that was where I think we both maybe realized in ourselves our potential to be somewhat societal sexual deviants.
That's what I mean.
By how we interacted sexually. I mean,
Can you give us an example?
We're confused and helpful.
We were very. Very creative, very experimental. Although, you know, of course, later as we went into college and Jordan ended up having another relationship, we both realized kind of we were somewhat naive. But for the time, you know, high school students, you know, experimenting with a lot of fellatio, a lot of cunnilingus, a lot of other, you know, we would go very strange outdoor places and
at 15 I'd say that's pretty experimental.
We were caught by the cops just once.
Yeah,
I was caught.
Did they use the handcuffs on you?
No, see that was, of course, that was, you know, some of our naivety. Had we known, you know, the wonders of tying each other up then, maybe
we would have done some damage. But I mean, I went into that relationship, I didn't even know what a clitoris was. I had not a clue. I was like, wow, this is really interesting. This is something new.
so why didn't you know? Hadn't you done any sort of self-female exploration before?
I mean, my family is weird in that my parents were so open about sex that I never had any curiosity, because all my parents did was talk about sex. My parents walk around the house naked, and they're very old hippies. And
but I guess your mother never opened up and said, here, that's a clitoris.
No.
Well, presumably you'd have bumped it against something at some point in your life, or doesn't that...
Well, I think you just said it was like it's a little bit more sensitive there, but I didn't know it's actually like a separate...
Yeah, I had
item.
No idea that there was a name
item.
For that.
So we're back to your beginning of college, and you're tired of living in Pittsburgh, though you're physically far away, and you meet this guy, you said.
Yes, Jay.
In college?
No, I met Jay. I'd known Jay from the time I was in sixth grade, because he worked downtown in the music store, and he was like the tall, hot, long-haired rock and roll guy that played guitar.
And you just wanted something to get to wash this guy out of your hair anyway, so he fit the bill.
Okay. And what happened was I sing, and we ended up in a band together, because it's a small town, and I just became very enamored with this person. He was very charismatic, very sweet and kind, and yet mysterious at the same time.
Hola.
Yeah, he was a hottie. but he was 10 years older than me. That's the other thing. So that added a little bit of...
Good age.
Yeah, that added a little bit of, you know, being bad, whatever.
Okay, so you wanted to be bad. It's not just that you kind of like this guy. You liked him partially, at least, because you wanted to be bad.
Yeah,
okay.
Definitely. There's definitely an element of that. But I was still officially with Chris, and...
Well, you wanted to be bad.
Yeah.
I had no idea that any of this was happening, by the way.
Yeah.
You were too busy with your gay lifestyle.
No, that was what was weird. The gay lifestyle.
Your gay goal, anyway.
I was pretty pursuing. Yeah, I mean, I was pretty much asexual all through my 4 years of college. I mean, except for, you know, 1 6-week, 8-week on and off stint with someone.
So I just have to interrupt here to get to a very important question. So you're clearly now sort of at some kind of zenith of male athletic development. I mean, you know, I've seen you in the shower. Let's be honest here. I've checked him out. Chris has got one of the best developed bodies and is one of the best looking guys on campus. So how could you be so virginal during 4 years of college? And especially, how could you have... There must have been gay guys hitting on you all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he was
so you're
really
gorgeous. You have the goal to be gay or have a gay experience.
Yeah, the biggest
gay guys are hitting on you all over the place.
Don't forget the excessively large penis.
What's up with that?
But if you missed that show, we had a whole expose. But That was, I mean, it was innocence, yeah. When it was also just ignorance, like, I'm like, gay men hitting me. I'm sure the gay men are hitting on everybody, you know, and like, you know, whatever. And, you know, yes, it excited me, but it was also like, that wasn't the kind of relationship I wanted to have a first relationship. Huh. Like, if I was going to meet somebody, it had to kind of be in the right pretense. Of course, I wasn't exactly setting myself up to meet anybody at that time either. I was really busy work-wise. I'm kind of a workaholic person, which is another reason I think... well, not why you left, but
well, but I
mean,
part of it.
Yeah, I mean, I would become very involved in my work, very involved in school, or very involved in something like that, and like I could shut out everything else. And when Jordan left and called me and said, you know, I'm seeing somebody else, and I mean, we need to cool off.
What I said was, I slept with someone else. I don't know what to do.
And I was like, that's fine. It's 2 a.m. I want to go to bed.
Yep, that's exactly.
And I basically, I drowned it all out because I was like, I can work. I'm, you know, whatever. I don't need a woman. I don't need anything. Whatever. So I just did that for 4 years and then graduated. And then suddenly I was like, whoa, wait a minute.
You discovered what you did need.
Yeah, exactly. And I was like, damn, you know, I'm still, I've still got this thing that I haven't settled yet. Which was not to say that I was, you know, and it just simultaneously happened that, you know, I was meeting somebody else who was gay, somebody who was becoming a very close friend, and was like, wait a minute, wow, you know, this is really, this is almost like karma. This is happening too well.
So. Sorry, I have a question. So you came, I don't know if this was tongue-in-cheek, but you came with the idea or the goal of having a gay relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But, and then later on you said that you wanted a certain kind of relationship. It sounds like a nurturing one with somebody right. Who's a friend, not just a sexual experience. So how is a nurturing relationship in your mind, or how was it at the time, different from a nurturing relationship with a woman?
What was just, it, I mean, it was different because it was... I mean, how was the gay relationship different, or how was the pursuit of it?
How was okay? When you said my goal was
to be gay.
Oh. Right. Your goal was to have a gay experience, and I immediately thought sex, because the nurturing right. can come equally. I guess
it was just more of like, you know, I guess there's I mean, my doubts. I mean, I had doubts. I think everybody does at some point.
I don't. You know,
or at least okay. Yeah. But every gay or bisexual person at least has some.
About what?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
I need to probe into one a little bit. I had doubts about whether or not this was something I wanted. You know, you'll hear, you know, the religious people or even people trying to explain, you know, gaydom or gayness to people. And they're like, oh, you're just horny, you know, and you just, you know, want to have sex with whatever comes your way, and it's not a male-female issue. You're just very horny. And you'll actually hear a lot of people, straight and gay people alike, talk about bisexuals that way and say it has nothing to do with you liking women or liking men. It has to deal with you getting off. And there's it could matter, which is not really true at all. There's definitely things you glean from both. Of course, I didn't know what I was missing with men, so I wanted to find that out and find out if this was something that was so astronomically different, or if this was something that just, you know, didn't... You know, I didn't like it, whatever, I could put all my fears behind me, or fears, whatever they were, or desires, or whatever, and say, you know, the fantasy is not the reality, whatever. Mm-hmm. What I found out was the fantasy was very much a wonderful thing, and it's something, you know, that...
Now, this was in your last year, so it was four years after you had left Rhode Island, right?
Okay. Meanwhile, Jordan...
Meanwhile, I had met this 30-year-old guy. I believe we have a caller, though.
Okay. We have a caller. Well, anyway, to finish that off, yeah.
You were busy getting engaged and preparing for a wedding.
Oh, great.
What a turn.
So is the caller there?
Yes, hi.
Hi. Can we all hear him? Excellent. What's your name?
My name is Tom. I've called before. I'm calling to make a comment about people who think that gayhood is some sort of choice because you're horny. I've heard similar comments, too, and I've... You know, it took me years and years of thinking and wondering, why do people think that? Why do people think that? And I think that maybe the people who think that that being homosexual is just a choice because you're horny, maybe those people have very low sex drive, and to them, heterosexual sex is just a choice to do it just for the sake of doing it. Because I certainly know that with me, when I'm horny, which is... pretty frequently, there's no choice about it. I mean, even if there's not a particular person that I'm horny for, in some abstract way, I'm still horny for a woman or horny for a girl, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I And for someone to think that I might choose to be horny for some other person, or, I mean, for the other sex, or for some person just because they happen to be around, that's just ludicrous. I mean, So I don't think they experience the same kind of sex drive as average people do.
Either that or they're hanging on to some belief to justify their own beliefs. I mean, that a lot of times I've heard that from people who are very, very uncomfortable with the concepts of bisexuality or homosexuality, and that, you know, well, it's easier to just kind of discount it and throw it out the window by saying, well, you know, you're playing a game with yourself. This doesn't really exist because, you know, your feelings aren't really valid because you're kind of doing this
Available. They're negating the sex drive or feelings that a person has that are beyond their conscious control. They're mm-hmm. saying, well, you do have control over who you feel horny for, you know.
The way I took the comment that Chris made before, I think he was putting that comment on other people, wasn't that you have a choice because you can choose not to be horny. I think the comment was more, you're horny, you would like to have a woman, but you'll take a goat or a man. that's the way I took it. So in that case, you have a choice. You can go and rape a woman, right? If that's what was meant. I'm just trying to clarify my opinion.
Yeah. And also to kind of twist this is also to say it is difficult for bisexual people or at least somebody who has kind of tasted the fruits of both worlds. It becomes very difficult because you walk down the street and you know you're charged or
twice
something like that.
Twice as many people are there to be attracted to.
Exactly, and it's not like you can discount. Well, you can obviously discount some. I mean, because you know there's obviously people who will always be unattractive to you. Mm-hmm. But when you can look at men and women in a very sexual light. And be extremely attracted to, you know, 10 people on the way to work instead of 5.
Right.
You know, it does become something that rings on your door a lot. And then, you know, then to be told by somebody, oh, you're just horny, is it hurts. It's hard because you're like, no, this is real in me, and this is something I deal with on a daily basis.
Right. What I'm saying is the people who say that are people who experience horniness in a very different and probably not average way.
Yeah, I think you're right.
So as a bisexual, can you clarify to the, you know, unisexuals of the audience what it feels like to be attracted to both sexes? Are your feelings the same toward men and women, or are they
they're very different. And that's one of the things that I've defended, at least the myth of bisexuality. It's like, oh, you know, we can have the exact same relationship with a man and a woman. It's complete. Fallacy with a PH. There's nothing like that. There are common feelings you can experience, common feelings you can share that are non-sexual related, that are come from being in love with somebody, wanting to share something with somebody, trust. For instance, but beyond that, there are very different sexual goals. Kind of what Jordan was talking about before, there's this kind of wrongness about the gay side, at least for me, that is very much an excitement. Like, I actually really enjoy the fact that it's not an approved of choice, quote choice, if it is, you can even say it's a choice, which I don't really believe.
Can I interrupt you? You talked about trust. Is trust the trust you feel for or with or whatever a woman different from the trust you feel with a man?
No. Well, it depends. I mean, if I've gone about getting a relationship or getting into a relationship in the same way, that's one thing that I don't find different. Like, I can still trust
right.
the same people.
Right, that's what I would imagine.
Yeah.
So it comes down to sex thing, the
yeah.
way you feel
oh, yeah.
differently
and well,
about them.
And also
so it is that you're just horny. That's not a bad thing, but that's
right.
what it is.
Yeah. Well, and there's also dominance issues. I mean, one of the hardest things for me to deal with a male relationship is for the first time. I was not on top. I was not in control. Because believe it or not, while I may be extremely athletic and look like I'm much stronger than
you're
I am.
You're the god of swimming, man.
Right, but swimming is not wrestling. Swimming is not weightlifting. Swimming
right.
is like low impact. You know, I can outswim anybody here, but I can honestly not like outlift probably any of you, Jordan included. So I found myself constantly in a very you know, like, and I'm also not aggressive. I don't fight. And, you know, the male I was with actually was very much into this play and, you know, kind of throwing me around and, you know, pinning me to the bed. And, you know, I can't move. And that was a very different position for me, one that I had a lot of problems with at first and then actually found myself being very excited by. And this was not something I ever experienced with Jordan until Jordan returned on the scene, which was kind of
nice. So do you find yourself to be dominant with a woman and submissive with a man?
I did.
Is that
then,
the dual nature?
Right. But, you know, now I'm kind of like, well, you know, it's an aspect I like to. I like to be both, you know, at the same time. Not the same time. I'm saying that's a little difficult.
That's
but I mean, like,
show.
Exactly. My left hand and give me a whip for my right hand.
Exactly. But, yeah, I don't want to get too far off the subject here. Not that we necessarily have a subject with our caller, but I do want to kind of finish up with the caller though, and agree that, you know, yeah, I think when you find people who are very disapproving of at least bisexuality in terms of it or any kind of sexuality, and just kind of passing it off as overly horniness, I think yeah, they often are having a very difficult time dealing with their own issues of.
I think what Tom is saying is that it is, to some extent, a matter of horniness, and that you don't have a choice about it, right?
And it's just,
right,
just manifesting itself in a different way.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
well, Tom, thanks for calling.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
I have a question.
Okay.
Now, bear with me if this is not the correct kind of question, but is your relationship, when you have a relationship with a woman, would you say that was?
Yes.
The same kind of a relationship a heterosexual man would have with a woman, and likewise, would a relationship that you're having with a man be like a gay relationship, or because you're bisexual, you have different types of relationships altogether?
This is actually where I think I'd like Jordan to talk again, because it was actually really reassuring to kind of, over the course of the time, I was hearing more and more from Jordan about her relationship with this new man, who also is bisexual.
Right.
And some of the things that they would do.
And who I actually think was gay.
Pieces of the story are coming back to me as you
yes.
reveal.
Yes. we're doing a full circle here. So, you know, I would kind of hear these stories about her going, wow, you know, we did this or we tried that. And, you know, suddenly I'm like, whoa, you know.
Yeah.
They're having, yes, a straight relationship, but they're doing a lot of very cool and interesting. And
I don't think you could have called it a straight relationship. Maybe a role reversal, but not a straight relationship, because it was an interesting relationship.
It was wicked somehow.
It was wicked.
Tell us some more about it.
Yeah.
Well, I have to tell you about Jay. He was
You have to tell us
Jay
is the bisexual man that she was hanging out with.
He
closet gay.
Well, no, he was.
And you explore the outer limits of human sexuality.
Yes, things I didn't even know how to spell, I have to say. He had lived as a gay man for a number of years.
This is the 30-year-old man.
Yes.
Okay. Rock star.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Small town rock hero.
Rock.
Mm-hmm. I mean, how could I compete? I mean,
hair alone must have done it. Huh?
Yeah, it was
gorgeous
all the hair.
Well, see, my friends and I had a nickname for him. It was LHBN, long hair, big nose. It's this, like, really
the
gorgeous Portuguese guy. But, you know, it's just easy to just, it's LHBN. You know? Go on.
So what were some of the things you couldn't spell?
Oh, he was very into corporophilia, which is...
Can you say that again? I don't know how to spell that either.
Corporophilia.
Corporophilia?
Yes.
That's from body and philia?
No, it's from feces and philia.
Feces.
Delightful.
I didn't know that Latin. That's good.
Yeah. Mm. It's it encompasses a lot of things. Encompasses probably infantilism and water sports.
Infantilism? That's like behaving... playing the role of a
dressing
child?
Dressing like a baby, diapering.
So, I think we're being a little bit too abstract here. I would like to know some details about the coprophilia part of the relationship. Can we talk about a few scenarios here? For
Well, for instance...
And how did this come up? Like, whose idea was it?
Well, he had been into it for years and years and years. Like, he would tell me stories of being 12 years old. This is my favorite image. 12 years old, wearing an adult diaper, stripped naked in his mother's high heels with a champagne glass full of ginger ale vacuuming the house when his parents were at home.
And wasn't there music?
Too? There was music, too. There was, like, lounge music or something.
It's not arouse any of our
They do that in Portugal all the time.
That's just common. Come on.
It seems that that just...
How many times have we seen that?
Yeah. All the kids.
It just confuses too many different ideas, though.
Yeah. Well, I mean, just to give you an idea of, like, he had been... His childhood, you know, you could remember, you know, everyone has accents when you're a little kid, and his parents were very punitive about it and very punishing, and it turned into this, ooh, gonna be bad, you know, like, gonna make a mess of myself. And sure.
Really,
I can't be denied. He was, it became very much a part of our lifestyle to accommodate him with this, like, for instance, he would sitting watching TV, and Jay would get up, and he'd just appear in the bathroom, and he would just crap himself, and I don't know how to say this on the radio. But
was he wearing diapers at this point, or was he just wearing ordinary
clothes? Sometimes diapers, sometimes clothes, and he would, I don't know what the time frame was where he would, like, wait. I don't know what made him decide to clean up at what point. And then shower, and then come back like nothing happened. Yeah, sometimes, which was a turnoff to me, because not my thing at all. And like, I tried to be understanding, because I was like, I love this person, and this is a part of them, and it has been for a long time, and I felt like I'm open-minded. I should be able to accept this.
So did you start choosing restaurants where you would go eat? you know,
cut
sushi or...
A lot of his life was just surrounded around this kink. Like, he would drink bran in the morning, like, so that he would have extra whatever. And
Chris, how could you compete?
Exactly. And Corey's sitting there going, yeah, you know, you're really well hung, you know, you're attractive. I'm like, yeah, but, you know.
there are certain things that I don't do.
Exactly. I just wanted to have, you know, bisexual.
I mean, it's interesting because on one hand, you know, many people accommodate their lover's kind of unusual interest, but this is pretty extreme. I mean, a lot of people obviously have a pretty strong aversion to species.
This crapophilia, is that what you call it?
It's actually capro.
Carpophilia.
Maybe we should first to open the call line up if anybody has any.
What are the numbers? Do you remember them?
621 WRCT is how I always remember it.
Experience.
Not everybody has.
You can also call
268-9728
or 621-9728, which spells WRCT.
That's where we ran into problems, because together we explored a lot of things that I had, you know, a lot of BDSM, a lot of dressing up, infantilism, water sports, like...
water sports? I've seen it so many times, right?
I'm guessing.
Water sports is any kind of play with urine.
Okay, that's what I thought. I wasn't sure.
Which you, of course, it's kind of, you know, an adjunct to corporophilia. But he was very into a lot of things, and I found a lot of things that I enjoyed in that. But this was his big thing, and he pushed pretty hard.
What is the most extreme thing that you enjoy, that you surprisingly to yourself enjoy?
Like hardcore S&M. Uh-huh. Like a lot, like physical, like pushing, slapping, hitting, punching, which, like knives, like everything.
I didn't know about the knives.
Yeah.
That's a story for later.
What do you mean by knives? Cutting, piercing?
Not cutting or piercing, but like threat. Both. Always knowing that.
Not at the same time.
It was, you know, not right. Exactly. But, you know, slapping to bruising, definitely.
Did you feel like this was safe with him? I mean, our real BDSM practitioners are telling us about their safe words and all these elaborate precautions they take.
Yeah, I was thinking a lot about that last week when they were talking. We never needed that because we had a very we're very much on the same wavelength, and he could tell when it was too much, almost say, but even with all this crazy stuff, he was always a very gentle person, always very loving.
His feces is kind of a nonverbal safe word.
Yeah.
And you see it.
That means you're in trouble.
So, go ahead.
I was going to say that this kind of ties into to some of the other talk that we talked about, where we incorporated some of the things that we were saying. But talking about like sexual deviancy, it's interesting when you kind of have this quote, well-adjusted couple like Jordan and myself, you know, who can share stories like this. And
yeah, who said that?
Do I dare say that? Well, that's kind of the facade that we like. But, you know, and even, I mean, if you met Jordan, if you had met Jordan and Jay, you never would know, like, that this was going on. Like, we're happy, we're getting engaged. Got wedding plans, and, you know.
So you got engaged.
Wow. Oh, yeah.
You and Jay were engaged.
We were engaged. We were making plans to get married. We were together for 4 years. And eventually what ended up happening is, for all his worldliness and craziness in bed, he was a very traditional person on the outside and didn't like my friends, couldn't stand Chris or any of my really close friends. And, you know, I'm like blood with my friends, and you know, we share the same tattoo.
The Thanksgiving story.
Yeah.
I seem to know their lives. Yeah.
The details. So, I
mean, oh, this is the big group orgy we've all heard about.
Yeah.
Yes.
It went down at this time, on this date.
And I was still engaged.
Yeah, Jordan was still engaged.
I was participating in said orgy.
So this wasn't that long ago, in fact.
This was broke it off in February.
So how did you get disengaged?
I had started sleeping with Chris's best friend from high school.
Okay.
Which was my first real relationship with a straight man. And let me tell you, girls, find those bisexuals, because I didn't like that straight relationship at all. and he was very much like, I'm a guy and we're going to have sex.
But see, we have our theories about...
We have our own theories about friend, said individual.
His level of straightness.
Yeah, but it's kind of doubtful at this point. I think he's pretty closeted from having that experience. But I was like, look, I'm not one that can play two people at once. I was like, I just can't. Like, I slept with this person at Thanksgiving, and, you know, it was not something that I found that I could stop doing. And I was just like, Jay, you know, things are going downhill. Hard, but it was very amicable.
Are you doing some knowledge transfer now to Chris?
Yes. He's been a very good student.
Well, this all kind of comes full circle again, because I actually ended my male relationship actually the week after Thanksgiving. Not because of anything that necessarily happened at Thanksgiving. Because, you know, we say this full-blown orgy. And for the listeners who aren't familiar with the Thanksgiving story, even though we've talked about it twice on Sex Talk before, it's so fascinating. A group of my friends came to visit me for Thanksgiving. Was it three women? Three women and five guys. And no penguin.
No, but two cats.
Right, two cats. At that point, there were only two. And anyway, it just ended up...
We ended up getting
fairly liquored up one evening, and just one thing led
like
to another.
Like, spin the bottle.
Yeah, and things just kind of got out of hand, and... Well, not out of hand, actually, and in a really good way, and everybody just kind of ended up, you know, making out and doing a lot of touching, groping in threesomes, foursomes, you know, and then several people ended up pairing up, and I actually ended up fleeing at the time. But
So these friends were all pretty open-minded? Kind of
well, yeah, yes and no. Like, open-minded, but not like this was not something that anybody ever really talked about. And that was the thing. I mean, look at the odds. Five guys. Three women. Two of us actually were out. One of the other guys was gay. But three
out?
Out. Meaning? Out of the closet.
Okay.
So it was perfect.
Well,
everybody else is heterosexual.
But
right.
The two gay guys were not the guys that hooked up.
Exactly. And I was dating at the time.
She was engaged.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, all bets are off.
Yeah, and two of the women had a lesbian relationship.
With each other.
With each other
not
before.
The other two.
Right. And it was, one of the other guys had a threesome, in another experience with a man and a woman. So, you know, everybody had kind of limited weird, you know, experiences. experimentation, if you want to call it that, sex play, but it ended up manifesting itself in one large. Really wonderful thing, I thought. But, you know, yeah, the next morning, some people were very interested in trying to figure out, sort out their feelings.
So was there any next day denial? Like, dude, I don't remember what happened last night.
What was that note in the fridge?
Did we ever figure out who wrote that?
Oh, I don't know.
You all went and got a tattoo together, so it was obviously a bonding experience.
Well, yeah, the next day we were also kind of like, yeah, we're just kind of sitting around, you know, what do we do now? So yeah. Five of us went out and got tattoos.
But it wasn't a Caligula kind of orgy. It was
right.
It sounds like
just your traditional Thanksgiving. You
kind of. There was no turkey involved.
Exactly. No, it was a vegan Thanksgiving.
So, no, but what I mean is that it was, you were bonding and you were having a humane time. It wasn't just like, bump this thing you have in front of you. And
yeah, exactly. We have some interesting
Watch
photographs.
Watch that crazy horse, though.
Yeah. Crazy horse. Well, you had a horse, too?
It was a crazy horse.
I heard Chris is large, but I don't think it's larger than
that. No, I can't compare to that.
That's what I call it.
Won't get into my nickname.
No.
Anyway, so that was the Thanksgiving story, which at the time, he was engaged, you were together with this man.
I was together with this man. Anyway,
now,
so...
What was that nickname again? I believe now is the time for the nickname.
Well, this can tie into the next, and we'll get to the nickname. But anyway, I was having my own issues with my relationship in terms of just having problems with the relationship side of things, and... He actually showed up late, and so he kind of witnessed the tail end of it all.
I made out with his boyfriend.
Yeah, actually. he participated.
Did you ever sleep with Jay?
No.
Okay.
No.
He missed out.
No. Yeah, I mean, and gosh, I would have loved to, you know.
So can we assign the boyfriend at least a pseudonym so we can refer to him by something?
Okay. He's probably not listening, but let's call him M.
M.
Mr. M. So M shows up and actually participated for a little bit. He kind of got right into the swing thing.
Yeah, he did.
Pretty well. Even though he wasn't in the house like the rest of
Hello,
us.
Hello, sorry I'm late.
Oh,
I'm really sorry I'm late.
Yeah, so
there's
sorry,
a woman on the table trying to get a carrot in her cleavage.
I don't know.
But anyway, so the things of the relationship, basically, I was having other issues and going, you know, I'd rather have a friendship at this point. I've got a lot of other things going on. And there's a lot of other. It was more of a just a, you know, I need space.
Do you think that was because of the gay aspect or just because?
Not at all. Not at all. It had nothing to do with the fact that it was a gay relationship. I had had that exact same feeling of. Actually, I had that same feeling with Jordan, where basically I needed to be out of the relationship. Like, it was like, I need room. I've got some feelings right now that if I continue on in this relationship, I'm going to end up hating you. Like, I want to kill it before it kills us. And that was a good thing. Hard, you know, next couple months, but honestly, it was for the best. Anyway, Jordan comes out again with a friend. One of the girls who was actually there at Thanksgiving came out for
years. And of course, Jordan comes out over this process as well.
Yeah, that's true.
In the more figured extent of closet.
Right.
Okay, wait.
Are there any closets left that you haven't come out of? I don't understand. Like, which closet?
All the doors were open at this point.
Was that the experience with Mr. Bud?
No. I knew long before then.
Okay. Well, that was another. But we don't have to get into that.
We have to identify which closet we're talking about.
We have to get the time right. So the two of you made out on Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And you came out of the closet on Thanksgiving as well. It wasn't the same kind of sort of
origin. I just wanted to mention that I had been out as bisexual since I started dating John. John J.
Okay.
Right. Sorry. Confusion.
BNBH.
LHBN.
He's now SHBN. He cut his hair, so that messes it all up.
It was over at that point.
John.
Okay, so when is John out of the picture?
He was out of the picture in February. Right after Thanksgiving. And I had to come clean with him about Thanksgiving because there was some unprotected sex involved. She's very bad.
Yeah, if there is one thing that this program is for, it's for sexual responsibility.
Yes, don't do it.
Well, don't do it without
condom. Well, yeah, don't have unsafe sex.
Do it like
sex.
Mad. But,
yeah, 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 have mad sex. Dental dams.
Dental dams?
Yes.
Damn, dental.
Some other day we talk about dental dams.
Sure. Demonstration at
1 a.m. So, okay, to move on with our ever so meandering story. So Jordan comes out to Pittsburgh.
I travel to Pittsburgh.
From, it's another way.
Are we doing that now?
So you're claiming that the destruction of your relationship with M had nothing to do with Jordan's reemergence in your life?
No. In fact, Jordan really hadn't reemerged in my life at that point. She was just one of the many people at Thanksgiving. I started having like a lot of, you know, memories of feelings I had had for Jordan at that point. It was just like, wow, you know, I just made out with a person I used to, you know, sleep with and have all this love for. And, you know, still have a tons of love for, but in a much different way than I did. I mean, it's not like this obsessive high school teenage love. It's, you know, it's much more deep friendship. Like, this person means a lot to me. But, you know, all those other feelings are still there, triggered. But then, no, the relationship ended up ending for many different reasons. However, you know, Jordan then arrives on the scene for 2 years. It's been a month.
That's the follow-up, right?
That's when you attempted the follow-up to the organization. No, actually, we didn't, did we?
No,
because it was just her friend and...
Me and a friend.
Right, and it was just kind of awkward because, you know, I was like, beds in our house, and you know,
sure. Did you guys just do the natural thing and have a threesome?
No, because the other girl really is not my type.
Wonderful girl.
Yeah, she is.
She's got her own issues, and yeah. I don't think that would have been healthy.
Right. And for either of us.
Yeah, for anyone.
So anyway, we end up together and bed together, and one thing leads to another, and we end up having very heated sexual experience.
Amazing sex.
Right.
Woo! The two of you.
Right. Yeah. And this was the first time I ever had full sex.
Yeah, official penetrative sex.
Exactly.
We called it before.
The first time of all of this time?
All of this time, believe that or not.
I won.
22 years old, mind you.
I got the trophy.
All this crazy
you.
Sexual experience, and yet never actually had sex.
So this big penis of yours is more of a burden.
It was a terrible burden. I mean, and I kept dating virgins. You know, it was awful.
You should start dating women who've had like twins. You know, similar capacity.
Right.
So Jay was kind of.
He was a necessary
step in the development.
Definitely.
Yeah, definitely.
Because it was not something we were really.
Physically
or emotionally, because even the emotional part was, you know, dealing with a certain amount of pain associated with. We just didn't know what to expect at that point. You're 17 years old.
No, I didn't do it.
Exactly.
Or 14 or 15.
Yeah.
However, what it was. So long ago.
But anyway, that ends up happening, and then they leave again, and I'm sitting here like, oh, great. You know, what's going on? And so I guess it came out two more times. Been ready to.
How many times do you need to come out?
Often as possible. And so, yeah.
Get it over with.
And every time.
It's a religion with us.
Yeah. And every time Jordan would come out, there was like another, you know, amazing experience sexually. And also just us getting to know each other. We drove to Ann Arbor together. He's another friend of ours. Who was also at Thanksgiving. And she basically together, you know, the three of us kind of like just had a really good time. And I got to know Jordan even better after, you know, being a is still really important to me. And
during these Jordan visits, you are or are with are not
still with no, I'm not with M.
M was over the week of Thanksgiving.
After Thanksgiving.
But M and I are still really close friends.
We were at the time too.
At this point Jay is still in the picture though.
Right, Jay was in the picture well until February.
I don't know, did you visit me after? Yeah, you visited me after.
Oh, this is complicated.
It is complicated. There's just too many, like,
parallel lives.
I thought we were talking about the summer, but the summer hasn't happened yet. Or is there some?
Well, the summer is now.
This
is all, like, going down this spring.
The summer isn't even started.
It's right.
June 2nd.
Like, he lost his virginity in January.
Like, yeah, like,
January
not even.
5th.
Oh, I remember that.
Oh, that's the night before.
It was the 3rd at 5 a.m. Thank you very much. Before I went to work.
So, but it's not the 5th because that's...
It was the
morning
epiphany.
Of the epiphany, as it were. But anyway.
So, you can now accommodate Chris with ease. Yeah. In fact, I think a reader could know.
Definitely not a problem.
Do you need any external lubricant? Brand you recommend?
WRCT doesn't recommend particular.
Exactly.
Well, we do not endorse any lubricants.
We cannot buy.
No, I mean any kind of glycerin based. Although then the interesting thing too was Jay had a problem with spermicide, right? He was allergic to it.
Oh my God! Watch out for those spermicide allergies, girls. Those are bad.
And guys,
and guys.
Yeah, I heard the description of what happened to him.
But be careful what condom you hand a guy.
Yeah. So Jay got all crusty.
He would get bright red, swollen, and couldn't pee.
That was not a fun thing. So anyway, we can also finally divulge the nickname too, which was kind of coined from.
An old book in the Bible.
No.
GUC. Yeah,
the Guck.
I call him Guck, and Guck's GUC stands for Great Unmilkable Cow.
the others of the cow are not.
No. That's why it's a great unmilkable.
Right. Just picture like a 20.
And it's truly unmilkable.
Well, no, not necessarily.
You just need effort.
I just take a while. I'm not a very.
That's excellent.
It's not a pre-jack moment at all. Never understood men who could have
ejaculation within the first 10 minutes or
half hour.
It's just, I mean, you're there. Enjoy it. Which is a real work.
This sounds like quite a dream, actually.
It's just fascinating, but I guess my orgasm really is very
unless you have to go to work or something. So at the beginning of the show we said alternative lifestyles. We covered that to death, and
yeah.
And then there was second chances. That's your second chance. And what was the prostate,
prostate
about?
Oh no, we were just. I said we could talk about the prostate because I know we talked about. We were talking about we had this gay sex versus straight sex thing before and. I was trying to explain to Juan, what's the difference? Juan's like, what is the difference? What are the things? And one of the things I said to Juan about the gay sex experience, at least for men, is really discovery of your anus as a sexual organ. A lot of straight men are very afraid of this, and they're like, I'm not gonna go there. Well, whatever, it's dirty, it's unclean, it's not even something that I could ever derive pleasure from. And so, I'm trying to explain this to Juan and telling him about the prostate. And Juan's like, well, tell me about the prostate. Read all this stuff. We actually got a caller, too. Somebody's very interested in
my prostate.
Yeah, exactly.
That was a little disturbing.
So
what's the deal?
So I thought the prostate topic was related to, to our whole thing. I didn't know. If I knew that it was going to be redirected against me, I wouldn't.
No. We don't want to put you on the spot. But, so ultimately, Juan.
Juan was fascinated.
Hopefully we'll, eventually discover for himself the joys of...
In your current heterosexual relationship, are you able to get any of the prostate stimulation that you crave so dearly?
I mean, we do... I give Jay a whole hell of a lot of credit.
Yeah, with two bi men under my belt, I'm pretty good. This one.
Yeah, I'm good.
It sounds like whenever you have the next orgy, you should call us because both of you seem pretty... Actually, I don't indulge in that kind of stuff. I'm not really...
Oh, for God's sake, Juan.
Such a purist.
You have to maintain this pure on-air persona when you're.
Well, I was very envious when I heard the first time the description of the orgy, the pseudo orgy, I guess, whatever it was. Because it definitely seemed like a very loving experience. I would go for that kind of thing, but I don't want to just walk into a room and start having sex with the place.
Yeah, I mean, there was no.
Well, if I'm forced to do it, I might, but enjoy it. But
there was nothing past the second base. People decided to pair off.
So somebody has called, and I think we should always mention what the callers say. To mention that some people are allergic to latex. I guess latex was related to the allergic to spermicide. I guess.
That was the caller's comment,
which is killing some.
Real serious.
Yeah. What do you do if that happens? If you find yourself allergic to these things. Yeah, but that doesn't protect you from...
Right? There are those new funky condoms that are made out of some kind of...
You can get them made out of...
space age plastic.
I think I've used these things. I've bought these things. I forget what they're called.
Modern age is wonderful.
I'm
finished as far as.
Well, one question that's been plaguing me for the past 5 years. It's in regards to the gymnasium and the showers. I've never seen your penis. Like, you're the only person in the gym that never showers naked. Is there some sort of shyness?
No, it's actually a convenience aspect because I don't take long showers. I'm kind of like in and out of there, and I'm always coming in after the pool. Still got my bathing suit on. This is an interesting thing because a lot of people have pointed this out. I know other gay men have actually pointed out about the Carnegie Mellon swim team, from which I was a part of, is that very few, if any of us, shower naked. It's just like we kind of get out of the pool, you know, sitting there talking to each other, just, you know, shampooing, whatever, soaping up, and then leave.
Sort of massive group gay denial.
Although I think for some people it does. I think it does because there have been times where some people have decided to shower naked in a group of team members, and there's kind of this room. But I mean, we're naked around each other all the time. I've never seen somebody naked. And then
paper suit's not gonna make that much difference
exactly.
Between naked and clothed.
Yeah, I mean, some of the bathing suit technologies, and we don't really want to get into that. You know, that in terms of like, you know, I mean, it's
bookmark.
there's some bathing suits. There's some male bathing suits that take at least 3 or 4 minutes.
So for now, you're going to claim that this is convenience and not the fact that. I mean, I would imagine.
Not the fact that. No, I mean, I'm not horribly like, you know, just like I don't want to, you know, be naked. It's just,
being unnaturally like, beautiful and well endowed doesn't make you feel self-conscious.
Well, it keeps people like you curious too. So, do you want me to start showering naked? I mean, I can if it's something that.
If it's my choice, by all means.
All right. Well,
you know, I didn't realize it was that easy.
I think perhaps this would benefit the mental health.
Well, there's certain other people in the showers that, you know, are a little over ambitious.
Predators for God's
sake. Yeah, exactly. One of which
predators.
I'm dealing with right now.
God, I'm
not. Yeah,
bookmark.
There's another. Well, we did a show on this actually. Interesting issues behind that. Too.
There shall be many issues to talk about, but not tonight.
Thank you for listening.
Yes, thank you very much.
Coprophilia, it's a way of life for some people. Don't dismiss it out of hand.
Coprophilia, I have to remember that.
Okay.
Right on the blackboard.
So, you're listening to WRCT Pittsburgh now and always. It's midnight, and the next show is coming up.